Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
One.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to send correspondence or inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network, you can do so by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can also find the WIBR Warn Radio on Linktree by going to our sites, warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can follow the Warn Radio Network on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, it's hashtag Watchman. And you can join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. And you'll also find the WIBR Warn Radio on Parler and Clout Club. And you can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Players, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And I want to admonish you to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They apply to this day and age we live in, and they're very important. They're inspired and anointed. The first one we feature is America's Righteous Truth. America's Righteous Truth is here. One choice is clear today. The other choice is what is happening today, especially in America. I speak of doing that which is right in your own eyes, a problem that has existed before. This forsakes the Word of God as a foundation. Also, loving the brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain. Loving the brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain loved his brother. Brethren in Christ, but not as Cain. This is a point for all Christians to remember. And intelligible faith, the three cognitive C's for Christian clarity. Intelligible faith is Christian clarity. It is not putting our faith into a system of philosophy like all other religions and ideas of men, but to understand that in the world there is only one hope and one Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And you can read those stories by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to today's broadcast. Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 59. And we are in a point here where, in these verses, God is telling the people to be reconciled to Him. Isaiah 27. Now, we've been covering verses 1 through 4. And whenever I'm doing the Old Testament, you can bank on it, I will have New Testament scriptures that relate to it, or we can find the types that come forth, prophecies, other things like that. I preach the whole Word of God, or teach it, and I don't apologize for it. And there's a lot of things we can learn. And even Paul says that the things that were written aforetime were for our benefit. Those are my words, benefit. Things to teach us, to help us to understand. Be reconciled unto God. And here, you're looking at Judah that, you know, rode high during the time of David and Solomon. At the end of Solomon's reign, it was Israel, and Judah was one of the houses. But Judah, being part of Israel, rode high too. They were doing good. Then, of course, with Solomon, because of the sins, God divided the place into two houses. The northern tribes, which we refer to as the lost tribes, and the southern tribes, which is Judah. And of course, it went downhill from there. And whenever Israel would sin, and here I'm referring to both houses, God would send in the enemies or allow them to enter in. Kind of like what's happened in America. We've had enemies entering in this country for a long time. So it's not surprising that the entire Democratic Party seems to have been taken over by a bunch of left-wing socialist nutcases. But that's the way it is. When you reject God, and you can say, well, we're one nation under God. No, we're not. We're one nation under many gods. And yes, this nation has heard of Jesus Christ and the Father, but they pay him lip service. And even in the pulpit, we find the devil. We find pastors who are sold out to political agendas and other things. And they twist the scripture and the teachings in order to fit what they're doing. I don't. I'm a watchman. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe me or not, it doesn't make a bit of difference. A long time ago, God called me. Long before the internet, long before any of this. And I've known things for a long time. Even when I was approached by a Jewish prophet who was telling me everything that was coming, I told him I've known him. I've known it. Knew it all along. Not on my own, but by the Lord. And this wasn't through the Word of God. That came later, as far as confirming everything. But you see here, it's be reconciled. Now see, in Isaiah 27:5, now this is where we're at. We've been in verses 1 through 4. Verse 1, it talks about the Leviathan. And we've discussed all these verses. But verse 5 says, or let him take a hold of my strength. Because in the last part of verse 4, it says, I would go through them, I would burn them together. That's when people who would try to stop the Lord. He said, I would go through them, I would burn them. That doesn't work very well when you're trying to stop the Lord God. And make no mistake, his ways, even in judgment, can cause humans intense suffering and even death.
especially if you are in the wicked and rebellious category. And so when we have all these liberal Democrats lining up with Bernie Sanders and all these others saying, well, we're going to change the Constitution, we're going to open up our borders, we're going to do all this. Yeah, talk about dumb. But Bernie's been like that all of his life. He's very sincere about it. There's a lot of sincere socialists. And many of them are former socialists who lived, like in Venezuela and other places, who sees the evil. And many of those are even living in America, of which we have heard from. Yeah, they don't like the idea of going back to socialism. But then when you look at the sins that we do, we persist in. Late term abortion, up to the point of actually killing the baby out of the mother's womb, and many other things. And now with the COVID and the riots and the people, I mean, you look at New York, you look at Chicago, you look at LA, you look at Portland, you look at Seattle, you look at places in Carolina. I mean, you look around a lot, and they're almost always, all of them, Democratic-run cities. And it's a mess. People are dying. Murder rates are going up. And, of course, they're blaming all the guns. But, you see, when you have a nation in turmoil and a nation that has turned away from God, when God begins to send judgment, make no mistake, you're in judgment here. It's not going to go well. And your enemies will make progress against you within your own nation. This is what happened in the northern tribes. This is what happened in Judah. This is what's happening in America. This is what's happened. It's what happened in Venezuela. Because they weren't always socialist. But they gave into it. And now look at them. Oh, yeah, it went well for a while. And then, of course, at the time, they decided to privatize everything and take everything over. That's what the communist government has done. And China wouldn't be worth a flying flip today if it hadn't been for Walmart and all the American companies who made China so rich, because they're doing it on the backs of slave labor and their own people. Slave labor, meaning the Uyghurs and the others, everyday Chinese who don't make much money at all and are told what to do. That's the way life is in these countries. In America, we're not like that. We're free. Well, that is until Bernie and the Democrats and Joe Biden, who don't know where he's at, gets done with everything. That is if they get elected. See, that's, they're planning on that. They're, and if they don't get elected, then they know that Trump has caused trouble, you know. I mean, he's messed with the election process, you know, because they know that they're going to win. Because they're willing to cheat to win. See, these are the things that happen within a nation that has fallen away. And it's not very nice, and it doesn't feel very good. And until that nation wakes up, repents. See, and this is what Isaiah 27:5 is saying, or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. You see, there was a time, and if we go back, for instance, in David in his old age, there was a couple of them, of his sons, Adonijah and Solomon. Well, Solomon was the one that was meant to have the throne. And, of course, the prophet Nathan was around. And Adonijah, who exalted himself to be king. And Adonijah was a goodly man, Scripture says. You know, he got carried away, you know, with him being the oldest, he naturally assumed that he would be king. but it was Solomon which was to be king. Well, you see, Adonijah had the help of a lot of people to get him set up. And he set himself up as king. So this is about the time when Nathan came along and told Bathsheba to get before David and say, hey, this is what's going on here. Your son Adonijah has taken the throne. Well, events, you know, went through the whole thing, and Solomon actually had the blessings of the priest and the king, and he was the official heir, and of course, Adonijah feared that Solomon, his brother, would kill him. So Adonijah took hold of the horns of the altar. Now, you see, the big thing of it is, he really believed this. And it does say he was a goodly man. Who knows? Maybe he was just pushed by people who were there to help him, because after all, he was the king's son. Now, Adonijah was born after Absalom. Of course, Absalom ended up getting killed. David wept over him. But Adonijah wasn't the oldest, but it was a goodly man. Well, he went into the temple. He caught a hold of the horns of the altar, and he wasn't going to let go because he was seeking the Lord God to protect him from Solomon. And it was told in verse 51 of 1 Kings 1, it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah fears King Solomon, for he has caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his slave with the sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself virtuous, there shall not one hair of him fall to the ground, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. And there is some types in there. I mean, you can look at this. If he was good, nothing's going to happen to him. If he's wicked, he's going to die. Now, really, folks, if you look at the bottom line of what Christ has died for, he died to keep you from dying and to follow him. So there is a life and death scenario, even in Christianity. If you don't continue, if you turn back, you've lost. If you're a sinner and you've never become a Christian, then the curse is on you automatically and you live in darkness and deception. And we always say when we come to the Lord, well, I found the Lord. That's what we used to say. We found the Lord. I found the Lord. I said it. Tower said it. I found the Lord. Well, he was never lost. You were. He had been working in your life to bring you to himself. Now, I was raised in the church, the Methodist church. There used to be shouting Methodists, just like the Pentecostals. Well, by the time I came around, the shouting, I don't know where it went, but it wasn't where we were. But I knew all about the Lord. I believed in him and all this other stuff. But then there came a time when I had to make a commitment, and God changed me totally. You see, there's that time. And when we say the horns of the altar, that emphasizes intense prayer and intercession, borne out by stress and attacks, that you just absolutely have to stay there in the presence of God or you're going to die. See, when we see the phrase the horns of the altar today as Christians, that is a phrase where you hang on to the horns of the altar. In this case, as Christians, Paul said, enter in boldly into the throne of grace and seek the Lord. And that's what you do. That's the horns of the altar. You grab a hold of grace, you grab a hold of faith, and you get in before God, and you stay there till you get an answer. And if you haven't got the answer, you go back, and you fast, and you pray, and you keep seeking. That's getting hold of the horns of the altar today by the grace of God. Adonijah, in his day, Christ hasn't come. But even then, God had grace. God had mercy. See, because out of God's love comes mercy, comes grace. And through grace, we access that grace by faith, because you can't access something if you don't believe in something. And faith means you believe. And see, this is verse 5 following the other things. Remember, God is doing the work here. And sometimes that work can scare the yell out of you. You figure it out. Hell, yell. Yeah, there's a lot of people in America that need the yell scared out of them. They need to learn that this God means business, that there is a life and there's a death. And surely, as they're trying to make this into a socialist nation, there's a whole bunch of other people that say you are not. So what you wind up with is another civil war. I wrote about the Civil War, the Second Civil War, long, long, long before anybody's ever talked about it. Now they talk about it all the time. I don't talk about it much, except I warn that we don't want a civil war. People are stupid if they want a civil war. People are proud if they don't want to, as we say, kiss and make up. No matter what the Democrats do, we still have a Constitution until they change it. But you see, greater nations than us has fallen down, so it makes us think we're going to last. And if we don't last, then all hell's going to break loose here. It is time, folks, for you to get hold of the horns of the altar and seek God on the behalf of this country and the president that's willing to help you make America great again. Of course, if you want socialists, well, there's the other part. I won't live under socialism. Now, they can do whatever they want to, but I won't be a socialist. I'm no friend of the socialist system and Marx. Marx is an atheist yahoo. Now, this is the problem with schools. They don't even teach this. When I was in school, they taught it, so we knew what it was. I learned what Marx was. I learned what the Soviet structure was and China was. They don't do that. We got a bunch of commies in here in our schools. They love it. That's because they've never lived under true communism and true Russia. Most of these are punk teachers that got convinced of it. See, this is how the enemy works, but in the long run, you know, the fact of it is that within all this, God is willing to be reconciled to his enemies. And in order to make peace with God, you got to submit to him. So too, the enemies of God had to. You submit to him and lay a hold of his strength. It's a repentance. It's a humility. But if they're going to stay proud, they're going to shake their fist at God and be angry, then they will be destroyed. But inevitably, God's going to defend his people. He will never forsake those that are his. Now today, in the new covenant, that is through Yeshua with Jesus Christ. You're not going to be justified by keeping the law, even you messianics. Now that doesn't mean we ignore the commandments. Jesus himself said in John 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You see, there is a place. We're not justified by that, but we walk in what he says. We obey the gospel of Christ. And see, God was concerned about, and here they call him Jacob, which is Judah. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root, and Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Now you see, this was a long time ago. And of course, you take from this time here forward, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in there in the prophets. But when we reach up to it, at the time that Christ came, the Roman Empire had control. Israel had already gone through a lot of stuff. And now the Roman Empire ruled the world. And so when the Messiah came, even the apostles wanted to know if the Lord was going to restore Israel. See, because that's what they wanted. And many people point out the fact, yes, Israel was deceived. He went to his own and his own received him not, John 1. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, because he didn't come to restore Israel to the state it was under David or under Solomon. He came to restore and bring back the fact that there's going to be a way for you to find redemption, to find peace with your God. But even with that, you see, by the time Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem, the temple and everything, about 1 million Jews died during that, according to Josephus. You move forward, 1945, Israel becomes a state. Now see, the world doesn't like prophecy fulfilled. It doesn't like to think that everything is under the control of the Lord. I mean, even in America, no matter what Joe and the demos do, everything's in the hands of the Lord, everything. Just like my instructor in the life of Christ said, he could live with things like that, believing that it's in the hands of God rather than the devil attacking everybody. There is a sovereignty of God over everything. And in verse 6, he says, he'll cause them that come of Jacob to take root, and Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. And if you look since 1945... I mean, you look at the inventions, Intel in Israel. I mean, there's a lot of things. When you get right down to it, the Jewish scientists and others have been prolific. I mean, before Israel handed over the Gaza Strip, you know, area, they had done a lot of farming and built things there, factories, and they handed them over to the Palestinians, who immediately went in and looted them all and destroyed them. Rather than building them up and thanking the Israelites, you know, Israel themselves, for a business that was already going. Because the bottom line of it is from the beginning, they were going to overthrow Israel. They didn't want to make goods and services and become a rich nation or help their people. They wanted war, which most of us, I expected it. I thought, why give it to them? But yet, Israel, in spite of their enemies, has been very prolific. Israel over there, it used to be a desert. and it's blooming. They have some of the top technology as far as agricultural, and you can call it drip irrigation. It's even been better than what I've seen before, because I utilize some special things, but nothing like what they do. And in the desert, you have to utilize every drop of water, and they found out how to do it, and they make it bloom. There's a lot of sciences, a lot of stuff in technology, your intel, deep things. I mean, they've got. And if you look in the history of some of our greatest scientists, they were Jews, Hebrews. They came from that lineage. You look at a lot of the American comedians and movie stars, and then they're... you're going to find a lot of Jewish people. And one of the biggest enemies we have is a Jew. That's George Soros. Now, of course, there was some stuff out about him not too long ago, saying that he's just been framed, that there's actually a couple of other conspiracies from the Jews themselves that got him. The Protocols of Zion. Well, see, there is going to be a Zion, whether you like it or not. But there are, and there is no doubt about this, there's a political Zion, where politically an anti-God, and these are Jews, want to make the world as they see it. There's no doubt about that. But there is a Zion, Zionism. And if you're a Christian, then you believe in Zion, because Zion represents that place where Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. Now, of course, depending on what you believe and what denomination you go to and what seminary you went to, I call them cemeteries, because when you talk about deceit, when you talk about corruption of Scripture, it begins at the highest levels of your religious educations. And, of course, that comes from a lot of our doctors of theology when I went to school, Bible school. So there's a lot of things that are working against America if you want to stay free. But all this white privilege is nothing but bull. Oprah's on the bandwagon now. It's not white privilege. It is called sin. That is the problem in America today. You could take over America and kill every white person on the face of the earth, and you're still going to go to hell in a handbasket if you don't repent and become born again, regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not race. It's not color. Black doesn't make you any more perfect than white does. Christ went up on the cross, stretched out his arms, was crucified for all men and women and children. He didn't die just for the blacks, just for the whites, just for the Spanish, just for the Chinese. He died for everybody. And it says, by this shall you know that they are my disciples if they have love one for another. Oh, sure, we have love. Yeah. And, of course, Antifa and Black Lives Matter are the evangelists for this new world order that the Democrats want, because they're beating the hell out of everybody on the streets. And if they don't beat the hell out of them, they try to kill them. And if you're a fed or a cop who's there to keep the peace, oh, they hate you even worse. That's why they wanted to fund the cops, because they want no law. They're lawless. If you put a lot of cops on the street, they can't be lawless and destroy everything. Well, I got news for you. Get rid of every cop. You get rid of every person that wants to bring law and order to America, and you're going to have a lawless mess, and it's going to be worse, and you're going to die. There is a law, whether you like it or not. There are governments of men, whether you like them or not. And some are good and some are bad. But in the end, God is a God of law. And he's a God of holiness. And to fulfill that law, he had to send his son to die on the cross for you and me. Not for the white man, not for the black man, but for all people that he created. And all things. And it's not just human. It is also all of his creation. And then, of course, you've got the principalities and powers. You've got all the other things that are going on. So it's not just simple here living, because you've got principalities and powers. You've got plots of men. You've got things happening. Israel had the same thing. But see, one thing Israel had, they had the Lord God. He says, he will cause them to come of Jacob to take root, and Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. So when they went back into Israel after Cyrus defeated Babylon, they were building the temple. They were building the wall. They had to learn the law again because they had been in captivity for 70 years. They had to get up to speed on everything. But in that relationship, at that time under the covenant, when they were out of there, they were in the right relationship with God. And even today, all of Israel tries to strive to get back to that relationship. They want to get back to their temple. They want to sacrifice and do all the sacrifices they were told to do because they're still blinded. And Paul points out they're going to be blinded until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And the times of the Gentiles are coming down in their fulfillment. Some people say the times of the Gentiles are over. No, they're not. The times of the Gentiles are not going to be officially over until the man of sin appears. He'll be the last ruler of the Gentiles. Now, he himself won't necessarily be Gentile. He could very well be a backslidden, unbelieving Jew. But whatever he is, he will be part of the beast. And he will rise up and he will lead the nations against Israel and God himself. Now, of course, when you look at a lot of that prophecy, it depends on what line of theology that you follow. Because we got so much of it. That just like this Jewish prophet told me, he says one thing about, and he was messianic, and he says one thing about the Jews over in Israel that, you know, ask me. He says, what do the Christians believe anyway? He says they all believe something different. And that's true, they do. A lot of them. But you talk to a true Jew over there, they all pretty much believe the same. Some a little more fervent than the others. In Isaiah 25, 6 through 8, we've covered Isaiah 25. And 6 and 7. Now this describes fullness. The blossom and fill the world with fruit. And in this mountain the Lord of hosts shall make unto all people a feast of fat things, of purified wines, of fat things full of marrow, and of purified liquids. This is really neat because I am an ex-chef. I still am a chef. I'm just not doing it professionally. I'm a business owner. I'm a caterer. I've had businesses and restaurants, self-employed. I know about food. And when you're talking about getting the best tasting, if you want a good stock, you use marrow. Marrow is also one of the things in your bones that keep you alive. It's very, very important to your health. fat things. When you talk about fat things, if you're just fat, that's not very good for you. But fat in your diet is good if you eat the right fats, like the best kind of olive oil, which has polyphenols. Avocado, which again has polyphenols, a lot of other good things, but it's high fat, but it's the good fat. Purified wines and purified liquids. Now see, it's important that you see purified, because God is a God of perfection. And when we get our water here, our water isn't perfected. Our wines are made from that water and it's not perfected. But see, in the mountain of the Lord of the hosts, everything will be perfect. Fat things, a feast of fat things, some of the best tasting stuff on the face of this earth. There's nothing better than a steak with an inch of fat around it and have that fat crispy. Or chicken, crispy. Yeah, we could go on and on in this, but you get the idea. It denotes abundance. It denotes purified, perfection, fullness, healing. The mountain of the Lord of hosts, the Lord over all agencies, everything. He's going to control it. And he will undo in this mountain the mask of covering which all the peoples are covered, and the veil that is extended over the Gentiles. That veil was sin. And see, the Gentiles were the last because they didn't know the promises that the Jews had. They didn't understand all this stuff. The Gentiles were of the nations were just looked upon as goyim, as heathen. You know, they're out serving their devilish gods. But see, the mask of sin, the mask of the fact that people need redeeming was taken care of through Christ. Death came through the death. You have Adam, he came through and he lived and he died. And the sin in the garden, that began everything. But Christ ended it for everybody. But you have to repent, have faith, believe, and walk in his ways. And he will destroy death forever, and the Lord God shall wipe away every tear from all faces. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, and for the Lord has determined it. And he'll take it off from not just the Jews, but from the believing Gentiles who are known as Christians who have been persecuted, killed, and slaughtered like they are today. Isaiah 25, 6 through 8 shows us the millennium. It shows what God wants to do, what he intends to do. And when you look at the Jews who just came out of 70 years of captivity, they're in pretty happy shape here. They have a lot of hope. But then by the time they get to the Roman Empire, Yahshua comes. They reject him. He said, your house is left to you desolate. Titus invades and destroys and kills a million Jews. There's no place for the Jews to go. Many of them, especially in the northern tribes, have been carried away captive. They've been mixed into the world where you can't find them. And a lot of those were in Germany. And then World War II, the extinction of the Jews. Now you see, Hitler and his extinction of the Jews, extinction, killing them, gassing them. One of his biggest partners was the head Muslim mucky muck out of Jerusalem, the Mufti of Jerusalem. He joined Hitler in that battle. So there were Nazi troops that were following, of course, Hitler, but they were all Muslim. So where do you think the Muslims get their hatred for the Jews automatically? Well, it was there goes all the way back to Isaac and Ishmael. It's an ancient hatred. But the Muslims learned one of the best lessons they could ever learn from Hitler. Kill all the Jews. And there was hatred of the Jews, even in America. There was a lot of this stuff. But see, in the beginning, when America was created, Jews, there were Jews around, and Jews with money and Jews with influence that actually helped this country. Isaiah 27:7, he hath smitten him as he smote those that smote him. Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? Now you see, when you talk about judgment, God was doing a judgment upon Babylon. And at the same time, getting his people released. But see, God had punished the enemies of Israel. And he was going to destroy Babylon. But there are prophecies about Babylon that many believe will be fulfilled during the tribulation. Because many believe that mystery Babylon will be there and be destroyed, and that will be the end of that prophecy. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were many others who God judged for their sins. Remember what God told Israel when they go into the land. Do not do as the nations did before you. If you do that, you're going to be destroyed. That's why God destroyed them. Now you see, Israel faced judgment too, because they left the Lord God, they served other gods, and they rejected him. The punishment was placed on Israel as a redemptive act to bring them back to him. And then when they continued, and they went into Babylon for 70 years, and it was 70 years as a judgment because they refused to listen. And see, when you look at it, you can ask the question, has God punished Israel in the same manner that he did their enemies? Now you see, when you look at it, Israel survived and came through it. Sodom and Gomorrah, for instance, there was nothing left but ashes. When God destroyed, sent the flood, there was just Noah and his family and the animals. So there is that judgment of God that's final and complete. But there's also that judgment which is redemptive. And that's what God did with Israel. Redemptive. And of course that follows up to the Christian who is chastised by God. For the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He chastens as a father. He spanks them as a father does his son or daughter. Now see, we live in a lawless generation today in America, and many of them are raised with ever a belt. I was raised with a belt to my butt. Whopping your butt, the Lord, and Dad saying, this hurts me more than it does you. Well, I remember at the time, give me the belt and let me beat you with it and see how you feel. I'll see if it does me worse. But Dad meant in his heart, emotionally, he didn't want to beat me, but when he spanked me, did it in order to show me discipline. He also taught me about the conscience, that God has given us a conscience to help guide us when we do right or wrong. But we also know that those consciences can be seared because of the sin. They can be hardened because of our own pride. And when you have adults that raise their kids without a conscience, that don't have any idea what that conscience is, and they feed their spirit and their soul with vile things, unclean things, rebellious things, that's the way they're going to live. When you have adults that teach little kids something that's vile and filthy, that it's okay, they grow up to think it's okay, when in the eyes of God, it's vile. And we've had generations of that happen in America. And I bring this up because America, you can type America like Israel. While we're not Jews, we are a nation. And in the beginning, we had Christians that came here because they needed a place to come. And they prayed along the shores, and God blessed their prayers, and it became a covenant. We've had massive revivals. We've sent out more missionaries than any other nation on earth. We produce more Bibles than any other nation on earth. And we've had some of the top men and women of God that He had raised up to warn this nation, to speak to this nation, and this nation has ignored it. Now, I'm not famous like them. I don't want to be. I have no intention to be. I'm a voice, literally crying in the wilderness. It's kind of funny. Isaiah was a voice crying in the wilderness. I mean, many people look where we're at. Yeah, it's wilderness, all right. But you see, God has placed a lot of voices, not just mine, to warn America and the world. You're heading in the wrong direction. And I think these are the things we need to, you know, pay attention to. It would be nice if America and the world, wouldn't that be nice, would just kiss and make up, would just say, you know, we need to get along here. In America, you would think that the leaders of this country would get along. But they don't. They're not going to. They're not going to at all. They hate one another. And that is the thing that is going to destroy us. So we've been talking about, in Isaiah, dealing a lot with Judah. But as David Wilkerson used to say, whenever you see Judah, you can look at the church. There's a lot of similarities. And at the time of Judah, especially when they went into captivity, the prophet, the priest, the king, and even the people themselves, the temple, were all given over to falsity and bloodshed and corruption. They were passing their children through the fire to Baal. We are passing our children through the fire via abortion. And a lot of our kids, if they do manage to escape abortion, if you look, there's these precious young kids getting murdered in these cities. And this has been recent that we've seen so many. Because of the vileness that's happening, the people that are rioting, and the authorities that won't hold them accountable. They finally hold them accountable when these same people that they thought were patriots go to the mayor's house and cause trouble in the neighborhood. And a lot of them that I've seen are nothing but punks. They're punks that carry 2-inch round rods of wood, hardwood. You can find them in any hardware store. Good one. Where they hit people over the head. They're vile. And they're filthy. And their end will come quickly. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the Democrats are on the wrong course. And they hate the Republicans, and even the Republicans hate the Republicans. And they all hate Trump, who just wanted to make America great. And that's the irony, you know. The Democrats want to make it great by destroying it. Trump wanted to make it great by putting people to work, including all the minorities. It's, you know, the irony of it. The sadness. And I can tell you that in Judah, there were Jews that were looking at the way it was going, and they knew in their heart that this wasn't going to go well. And then when Babylon took them over, they already knew. They knew why. But 70 years when they came out, it was a new Judah. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless those that hear this word whenever they do. Keep them. Help them to be prepared. In Jesus' name. Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Share our articles. Listen to the shows and share those. Help us to get the word out. We need your help here to get this word out. We've done some stuff in some of our social sites in order to get things going, but we need your help. Until next time, for Tower and I, shalom, everybody. Be blessed and be saved. Safe in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.